Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show.
And Kiana's like, well, I didn't recognize you, so, you know, I didn't recognize you on the train. And just, I was like, but she looks the same, ma. And Stacey goes, why? Why didn't you recognize her? She goes, well, I just didn't recognize her, you know? And now she spoke, and then when I looked up, I was like, oh, that's Jassy. But, like, I didn't recognize her. She didn't speak, and, you know, it's all good. She's, like, sort of trying to do, like, low-key shade right now. And everyone's like, okay, come on, Kiana. We know.
Kiana versus Jassy, these are two people who are trying so hard to make up storylines that are just fizzling.
Just, I find Jassy more entertaining than Kiana, I have to say. Like, I would rather have Jassy than Kiana.
I choose nothing. You know what I mean? If those are both being passed, I just choose to eat at home. If that's the appetizers. I just don't I don't hate them or anything. I don't hate either one of them. I mean, I like them both fine, but meh. I mean, they're both just trying so hard. I mean, you're going to come into the reunion and your first argument out the gate is like, she ignored me on the train.
Yeah. I do love that this is the cast that has to take the train to the reunion. I mean, they take the SL. It's nice. It's a nice train. But it's just the concept of it is still very funny to me. But I think, you're right.
That's
they both
how you get
are
around in the Northwest or in the Northeast. That's how we get around, eh?
That's how we do
love
it.
That train.
It's no snobbery against the train, but there's just something about like taking a train to the reunion is like a funny concept, even though it makes total sense. And it's a really fun thing to do. Because this is, I think, last reunion, I think Ashley was like, I was on the train and I was showing a I was showing a guy and he's like, oh yeah, this is that lady would get wasted at Legal Seafood.
Yeah.
So, like, you never know.
I used to wait on her at Legal Seafood. What a coincidence to see you here on the train.
But ultimately, I
it was
like Jassy.
Just nobody recognizes Jassy on the train. It's just her lot in life.
She was in a Tyra Banks trench and like a mustache. Like, who's that? Oh, that's scared here. Given that there are two people who are trying a lot, I think like Jassy, her version of try hard is more entertaining to me. But ultimately, I think what we saw with Mia is that like the tryhards are not great on this show and they will ultimately be corrosive. And the show has been, in my book, like much better without Mia. And I was someone who actually really enjoyed Mia at first, but Mia is like a classic reality star. She's going to do whatever she needs to do. She'll have her fight, whatever fight she needs to have, just to like have her reality star moment. And Jassy sort of feels like she's a bit in that mold. So that's like a red flag for me. But Kiana is just kind of boring. So,
and Mia also was extremely entertaining. I mean, Mia really fucked it up, especially her last season with all of her, you know, lies and stuff about her marriage and her, I mean, everything that was going on was crazy. But Mia was damned entertaining, at least.
Because she was a blatant liar and a bad one at it.
Yeah, but even beyond that, like even her arguing with the ladies was really funny. She stood up for herself right in the beginning. I mean, her first entrance onto the show was when Wendy had all the surgery and she and Wendy went at each other. I mean, all that stuff was so good. She had something. She had like a certain spark to her and a certain personality that was just really, really good for Housewives. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see that in either Kiana or Jassy. They're just like, it's just like two, it's like auditions, you know, like we were doing all season. Like, da na 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 na, here they come. And now it's their reunion audition. And it's just everything is like, oh God, it's a disaster. In a real audition, they would have just been kicked off the stage weeks ago.
Yeah. So Kiana is saying now, Kiana's explaining why she did not recognize Jassy on the train. And she says, you know what? She looks beautiful right now. She looks dressed. She has her dress on, but she just didn't look like this on the train. I didn't recognize her, which is her way of saying, yeah, when she's out of all this makeup and glam, she's butt ugly.
She's hideous. Yeah. She's hideous without makeup and hair. Nay from Pool said, Jassy, what did Kay say about Wendy behind her back that was such a big deal when you brought it up in Nevis? And basically Jazzy's like, well, I didn't share everything that she said out of respect for where I thought that we were, but it was a long conversation and I'm still not going to say anything. And that's why I bought this really expensive dress and brought three assistants. I'm still going to give you nothing.
Yeah, And so Kieran is like, well, you've got 15 minutes. Don't waste your time on me. Okay. Keep it moving.
And she's like, no, you don't have to do all this. How about you don't have to? She's like, no, stop wasting your 15 minutes. No, you don't. You stop. Wrap it up. Okay, then I'll talk about you then. How about how you stole Greg from his wife and how you're raising his children? And then Wendy's like, ooh.
Everyone's like, what was that about? And Karen's like, you're a lying ass bitch and don't try it. She was like, what is happening? The JV team is fighting. Kieran's like, you know what? I knew this is what you wanted, but you know what? Time out. Time out. And Wendy goes, no, time in. Okay, let's move on.
I know. Wendy's like, this is finally getting good. What are you calling time out for? What the hell?
Yeah, but then Andy's like, I don't want to hear these two. Let's keep it going. But Jazzy's like, a man who hasn't proposed after I told him 3 years, it should be something serious, blah, blah, blah. She's like making fun of Kieran. And Kieran's like, you're goddamn right. You're a goddamn flight attendant. Are you kidding me? I'll book the next flight, though. I will book the next flight, which I just love. She's like, I've got, like, I don't know, the flight attendant shaming is like, what's that?
But it's also she misses the mark because she's Kieran, because she's like, you're a flight attendant, but don't worry. I'll book the next flight. Okay, she's a flight attendant. She doesn't book flights. It's not like you're saying you work at Kayak, but don't worry, I'll book my next vacation. If you're going to say that, you need to be like, you're a goddamn flight attendant, but don't worry, I'll get my own nuts next time.
I know. I feel like flight attendants are like unsung heroes because the amount of disgusting, awful people they have to deal with every single day, where they have to be smiling their faces, have to handle their garbage, have to clean them after them. They have to like stay pretty and cute and nice while literally cleaning up your poop in the bathroom and then serving peanuts and then listening to, you know, Fran from Hibiscus saying, like, complaining because she's hungry for something and her child is crying. And like these, and everyone, the flight attendants have to be smiling, keep the vibe right. They are heroes. Okay.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, well, as far as like you were saying, like they have to keep it cute and nice. No, they don't. I think those rules went out the window because now there are a lot of flight attendants who just look at you like, if you fuck with me, I'll fucking kill you. It's like you have to win a flight attendant over now. It's not like it's very different. I'm like, oh, my God, please don't hate me because I know what came before me and I know it was horrible. I was sitting next to these people yesterday who were very nice to me, but they were this couple. She was sick, which, of course, I was like, oh, God, please don't get me sick right now, you know. And they got something free with their airline miles. I guess they got a free snack. So the lady came over and she had a reservation for this. It wasn't even first class. So I was very impressed that they had, like, reserved snacks. So the lady came over and she's like, Christopher, okay, we've got a free snack for you. I need you to look here at the snack box and tell me what you want. And so the wife was looking. She's like, well, what do you have? All right, well, we've got a tapas thing. What's in the tapas thing? All right, well, there's some olives, there's some chips. You know, I got a long line here. I got to do the whole plane. She's like, okay, but then what's in this thing? But what's in that thing? What's in this thing? And what's in that thing? And then her husband's like, hey. Her husband goes back from the bathroom, and he's like, hey, where's our snack? She's like, I've got your snacks here, sir. We're trying to pick a snack. What do you got? Well, we got tapas. What's in the tapas? Oh, God. Well, there's olives. There's chips. What else you got? There's a cheese thing. What kind of cheese? She's like, oh, my God. This lady is about to lose it. And then he goes, well, what did you order, honey? And then she said, well, you guys just get one. So just pick one. And he goes, no, we should get two. She says, no, you just, with your program, you only get one. You're Christopher, right? Christopher is the one who gets it. You know, I'm Christopher, but I got a wife. You better get me two. She's like, nope, you just get one, sir. How this lady did not pull out a baseball bat and just club this man over the head, I'll never know.
Yeah, I would have taken that plastic box of very low-grade cheese and bopped him on the head with it. And it's like, you know what makes me so happy for flight attendants? Like, sometimes if I'm sitting on the aisle, on the flight to Miami, I was sitting on the aisle, and the guy in the middle was sort of like man-spreading, so I sort of like was going a little bit to the left because he was also elbow-spreading, so I had to sort of like drift into the left. And so what I don't realize is that my shoulder is sort of like spilling out into the aisle a little bit. And when it comes time for food and, you know, snack and beverage service, they come up that aisle with that cart. And I'm like, this is their favorite thing. This is like bowling for them because they bonk everyone who is dangling in the aisle. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I feel like a boom, boom, you know, because the car just like plows through, you know? And when they do that, I was like, I'm so happy for them. Like, that must bring them so much joy. Like, because they hate us all, as they should. And like, they can't act it out. They can't act on it. But in that one moment, they can be like, fuck you, bunk, 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 bunk. Just take all our shoulders out. I was like, do it. I was like, I'm not even mad that you bopped it. Like, you deserve that moment of justice.
Yeah, team flight attendant.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, Kieran, and going after the flight attendant. And so she's like, well, I'm going to book the next flight, though. And Jazzy goes, oh, really? With whose money? And she goes, oh, I would love you to serve me. I got it. She goes, oh, well, you don't. Well, I would actually, because you showed up looking cheap. Yeah, you showed up looking cheap. Flight attendant, what is this, Spirit? What are we on, Spirit now? She's like, I looked custom. That's how I look. And that's something clearly you don't know anything about with your store-bought picture frame. I'm a wag.
I also do know how to go through customs because I was a flight attendant. but it is hilarious that Kieran is trying to shame her for being like a flight attendant when she's at the same time holding on to this like drugstore picture frame on her chest. I love picture frames. That's what I love.
She's like, oh, look at you, you stupid flight attendant with your mansion and your millions of dollars.
Who married
very
up
happy
in the world.
With my rented condo and my picture frame. Thank you very much.
I'm happy with my condo that overlooks a regional highway.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So they're trying with each other. And Jazzy's like, oh, that's all she has. And Kieran goes, well, I have a body. Are you serious? She goes, okay, whatever. So Andy's like, okay, we got to move on because really this is a terrible, stupid fight. Jazzy, I hope you don't have any forks on you because the next segment is about me forking Charisse's son.
See what I talk about the good place. I can show him that. So he's like, don't let the accent fool you. This British Nigerian princess may seem prim and proper, but some of her friends are calling bollocks on her posh persona and would love to say doodle-doo. So now it's Tia's moment. And Tia's like, oh, I know they're not calling Stacey my friend, are they? So then,
hey, any culture shock joining this group, Tia? She's like, well, one of my fears in doing this was a bit of a culture shock because I've watched Lisa Vanderpump and people don't understand. It's her humor sometimes, British humor. Am I right? That would get her in trouble, so I was worried that that would happen to me. But alas, the internet has reminded me. I am no Lisa Vanderpump, so thank you, internet, keeping me humble.
Thank you. All right. Well, Fish Tacos from San Diego says, Tia, we never see your husband. Is everything okay on the home front?
Yes, everything is okay. And you'll see right from the beginning, it's nothing new. He's never been on there. He's a very corporate person, and we don't see him on the show, and I don't actually see him quite really around the house either. That's why my children have rages when I go out of town. But he didn't love being called a nanny, so oopsies. But he's really being very defiant and won't do stuff because secretly he thinks that he's a nanny, which I don't. We're both our children's nannies and we work for them. Ooh. Does anyone else have a child that kisses the mirror?
It was a bit of a culture shock, Andy, because now I have to do carpools after this show ruined my carpool with my husband. So thank you for that show.
And now she's like, well, you've been married, you know, and maybe he's just a little sensitive. And she's like,
well, I can say that verbal abuse is a love language for me. I just don't know why I can't get on board.
Verbal abuse is a love language. Wow. God, I love that British humor.
I love that Andy gave his literal Crappens joke laugh.
Well, we tease each other as a way of showing love.
All right. Well, you had a very unique and boring story about a sister. Let's see some of the clips of that. Whoa,
oh,
look
at this. We have a clip of you going back to visit your childhood home, and look who's in it, Mauricio.
Oh, hey, so you're coming back to visit your childhood home? Wow. Yeah, we could do this for a couple of million. Yeah, let's have a look.
Yeah, like maybe change out the banister, but other than that, it looks really good. So, yeah, really nice.
So they watch the clip of the sister and stuff and talk about how her father had kids while he was married to the mom. And then he's like, well, why didn't you want to talk to your sister? Did you not hear the setup of the dad had kids on the mom? Why are we acting like that so crazy? I mean, it's not the kid's fault, but as a kid, I can understand how you would be like, or as a younger person, I could understand how you'd be like, excuse me. But the point is they have made friends and everything's okay. And once she never spoke to her dad, but once he was gone, it was important to have her sister with her.
Yeah,
she regrets nothing.
It's a real testament to being open to an untraditional modern family, almost as if, I don't know, your boss wound up in a long-term relationship with your son. Right? Right, everyone? Right? No one? High five? Nothing?
So Giselle's like, I'm going to make this story about me now because I had some family issues as well with my dad's will. I'm not going to cry. Hold on. I am not going to cry. Yeah. And T is like, oh my God, I've never seen a cry. This is going to be fascinating. And Andy's like, don't worry. You won't.
I've been waiting 10 years to break that one. So Giselle is, she gives an update on this will, which is basically that, sorry, I'm burping everyone. That's really unpleasant.
Did you eat the will?
I ate the will. Guys, the update on the will is I ate it and now I'm burping it up.
Lucky yeah, so basically burps. She was suing the wife of her father because the wife wanted everything from the dad. And Giselle fought her in court, but Giselle lost the case. And I don't know. There's probably current wives everywhere who are like, hell yeah, you lost the case.
Jill Zarin.
But then she explains that. Yeah, Jill Zarin. But she explained. No, Jill Zarin was like,
should have called me. Could have helped you.
But yeah, they basically talk about how this woman won the case. And Giselle says it wasn't about the money. There were civil rights, like artifacts and stuff like that. That yeah. She wanted and that now she's not going to get from the evil wife. I was like, well, if you maybe stopped calling her an evil bitch, she might give you some of the stuff you wanted if it's not just money. But I don't know.
But I don't know. I'm sorry. This lady is evil. Like, how do you not like pass any, you know, you change it so that way you cut the granddaughters out of this guy's will. Like, that is cray cray.
Yeah, that's pretty bad
bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Giselle says that there's a silver lining because the city of Houston is building a park in his honor and it's almost done, which means that clearly next season they're going to go to Houston and visit the park as they inaugurate it, which is great. And then Andy.
My only request is that they could put it closer to the Arizonas.
Wow. So your dad is was a massive member of the civil rights movement and they're building him a park in tribute. That is great. Hey Tia, let's talk about you and Jassy getting into a squabble. Okay, let's pivot to that.
Any more flight attendant jokes? Okay, let's move on. So I'm sorry, Tia, let's talk about you guys. Jassy, you were offended by Tia saying the restaurant owner called you beautiful and it was disrespectful to your relationship.
See, here's another Jassy fight, and it's so stupid. Mr. Sunshine comes over to the comes over in the restaurant Nevis, and he's like, "Oh, hey, ladies, have a shot." And they're like, "Yeah, he's a hottie. Go get him, Jassy." And she's like, "How dare you? How dare you come for my relationship? I am a wag,
but not an elder wag, like Angel." So Jazzy's like, let me say this. I didn't think that it was appropriate. And quite frankly, Tia didn't know me that well. And Tia's like, and Andy, would you like to know what the total truthful story is? I did say that when we got to the car, she was upset with me. And I said, no, of course you're upset. Because you don't really know me that well. So I'm not trying to disrespect your marriage or whatever it's called or future ex-marriage, because obviously. And then that was the end of the conversation. And then we were having dinner and then we had that fork moment and she's just embarrassing herself because I tried to tell her verbal abuse, especially to someone stupid like you, is my love language.
Yeah. Yeah, basically she's saying this girl is pretending that we were getting along. Like, she's pretending we were having a fight. We weren't having a fight. I apologize. She accepted the apology. We got along really well, and then she needed a scene, so she went at me at a restaurant. And Jazzy's like, no, I was embarrassing you for your piss
poor non-wag behavior. And she's like, well, as everyone can see, I mean, why are you doing this? And you've been very loud since you got here, and you've given me a headache. You can't even move in that dress. You're ridiculous. You're a talking statue covered in roses. It's ridiculous. And Jazzy's like, you said you wouldn't bring it back up. She's like, well, as I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, your reaction was disproportionate and slightly unhinged. And you've been picking at me since you met me. You have a chip on your shoulder.
That's literally Monique coming out with a Dorito on her back, but we'll get to that. So Jazzy is like, she's like, well, I have a working husband who makes millions, unlike your husband. Let's be very clear.
And she's okay, like, oh. You know what, Jazzy, shush with this. Like, wow, you bagged a rich guy. That does not make you more worthy as a human being. And it's pretty sad that that's what you're hanging on to. Like, wow, every argument you get into, you're like, well, I'm rich now because I married a rich person. Read a book, okay? Go do something for a charity. Do something for some. Get a job. Like, how is that your whole thing in life? Like, wow, I bagged a rich one. Lame.
Also, maybe watch the first few seasons of the show and watch the story of Juan Dixon, and then you can see what happens to professional athletes after they hit their prime. Because guess what? It's not going to stay that way. It's great that he has the money now, but it's going to go away. Odell Beckham Jr. was a former football player, brother of what's-his-face Cordell on Love Island. He had some ridiculous clip that's going around where he's complaining. He got a $150 million contract and he's like, yeah, but you know, you lose half of it to the agent, to taxes, and then you got to pay your agents and this and that. And then you got to make like, you know, $8 million a year. Like, you got to make $8 million stretch or whatever. And he's like complaining and, you know, and everyone's giving him shit. Cause it's like, oh wow. Like, there are people who are like struggling just to pay for groceries and you can't make ends meet. But the truth is that I think with a lot of athletes is they do get a lot of money, but then they have a lot of expenses and the downsizing is very hard. And Jazzy is probably going to be facing that at some point. She definitely will be facing it at some point. Who knows when that will come? Who knows if there'll be a knee injury? Who knows if she'll get, if Darius will get like another 7 years or not. But she's sitting here talking about how she has this, like, her, you know, this rich man, which is cool and great. It's cool. You got a professional athlete. It's very exciting. But this fairy tale has a second act, and we've all seen Into the Woods, and we know what happens there.
Yeah.
Just be careful before, for you, Ronnie. Before I was like, I'm talking too many sports for Ronnie right now. Let me bring it back to Sondheim.
Well, yeah, and it's just like a celebrity thing in general. You suddenly have all this money, but you make more than you spend more, you know, and then you can't keep up because expensive things are extremely expensive. I mean, if you have a couple million dollars, I'll take it all. You know, the minute you get bigger eyes for something, you know, the more that money drains. So be careful over there.
Yeah.
I'm just embarrassed for her. It's just so like I've had money for a week to be like, oh, yeah, well, I'm rich. So your argument is bullshit. Well, you're rich, but you still suck. So Tia's like, oh, and by the way, speaking of, you told me that her husband didn't have a job. So excuse me, she told me her husband didn't have a job. And he took $150,000 out just to get her a home and clothes. And she goes, are you dumb? Are you crazy? I mean, when he didn't have a job, we paid cash to get my home. I mean, what's the problem? Talking about my husband didn't have a team and he paid cash for my home. Well, now we've got money.
Ooh, well, you're a friend of nobody. And by the way, your one job is to be a friend on the show, and you failed at your job. Because you're not friends with anyone. See how that works? Friend of Zing.
But that, yes. Now, that's a slam. You can't come. Someone's like, oh, you're broke. And she's like, you're a friend of. So.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. Well, I want to move on. Wendy, you defended Jazzy during the argument with Stacey not wanting to attend her wedding. So, Stacey, did you only go to Jazzy's wedding because Wendy convinced you it would be bad optics? And Stacey's like, no, she never said she was upset or questioned me. She only had a problem and told me how hurt she was when we were in the final 15 minutes of filming because she wanted to have a moment and our friendship was fractured way before.
Oh, stop the madness, Stacey. Your bullshit is really a form of art. You're poor.
So she probably, like we've said a million times during the season, she probably went to your wedding because she knew other people were going to go there because no one wants to go to a wedding alone. Nobody wants to.
And it would have been bad optics. So she said, I will go. So, yeah.
is it true that you only had your wedding at that time because you were trying to get it on TV? Yes. So Why is that better? The only reason you wanted those people there is because they were on a TV show that you wanted to get on. So please.
And the optics thing, by the way, I think 50% of people who go to weddings do it for good optics because they know, I don't really want to go to this, but I probably should because that'd be shit if I don't. They're not saying I want to go to this because I really want to like be there to like see this special moment. Like, no, they're like, it would be shitty if I don't go. So I'll go.
Yeah, I don't go for optics. I go for good like buffets.
I mean, honestly, if I were Stacey, it would have been like a yes in a heartbeat because I'm definitely going to go to I'm going to go to an NFL wedding. Hell yeah. I'll be there any moment, any moment. Any wags out there, invite me to your wedding. I will be there because I want to go to an NFL wedding. Okay. I want to see that. I want to see a lavish ass wedding. For as much as we just talked about, like, it's all that money's going to go away. So stop bragging about your money. I'm like, but while you have it and you are spending lavishly, loot me in. Okay. I want to go to that wedding.
Yeah. So now we go back to Jazzy recording phone calls. And she's like, oh, my God, Stacey's literally using a small minute, minute situation that happened genuinely, literally. And when you have that many ullies at the end of your sentence, you're lying. Yeah. I've learned that about people. Genuinely, literally, you're a liar. So Stacey's like, that wasn't minute. That wasn't small. She'd been recording phone calls. That kind of rhymed if you think about it.
Yeah, it was almost like a song lyric. So Jazzy's like, Stacey said to me, Jazzy, are we good? No, so I hope you all have watched what you've said to her because she records. And he's like, Andy says, has anyone else experienced this? And Wendy raises her hand and Kiana raises her hand.
So, yeah, so Jazzy was doing it. So here's another situation where Stacey's somewhat vindicated. This is crazy. Yeah. So Stacey's like, and by the way, how stupid are you? Doesn't it say that you're recording the call? I would imagine that when you press record the call, it says like the call is recording. Isn't that how Stacey found out? So what is Jazzy doing being the worst call recorder of all time where everybody has caught her and she still keeps doing it?
Yeah, she's not even getting a Brittany Bateman lashing. They just don't even care enough. They're like, yeah, she does it. Whatever.
Yeah. They're like, we're concentrating on Stacey, not Kierna. We'll get her, not Jazzy. We'll get her next time.
Yeah. And so, when Stacey's like saying, you're putting people on speaker and promising that they can pour their heart out. And then you tell people, like you're recording. And Jazzy's like, you are trying to exacerbate a situation as an excuse of your piss poor behavior. You're a fucking fraud. And you know you are. Everyone should focus on their own lives. And he's like, okay, well, Jazzy, you had your moment. Now we're going to bring out the friend of that everyone really cares about, Monique. All right, Monique, come on out here.
So this outfit is something. It's crazy. She's wearing like a big triangle, like a big flat triangular thing on her back and then another smaller one on her front. She looks like a napkin holder.
I did love it, but yeah, it was very angular. It had severe sharp turns.
I did not love it. Like how am I supposed to pass you in a hallway? Like that's dangerous. I don't feel like I should be afraid of your clothes.
I just appreciated it for just being wacky. It was like very
80s. Yeah, it was that.
It reminded me of like something that you'd wear, like someone wore and like Ruthless People,
Yes, I was going to say it was like the set of Ruthless People, all super modern furniture and stuff.
Memphis or something. It's like, I think that art style was called Memphis. All that weird, wacky 80s furniture. Could be wrong. I'm just like going to name a random city. I'm like, guys, I think that's called Biloxi. So Monique comes out with this crazy triangle outfit and she is like, I'm trying to top the last reunion. It's been 5 years. Isn't that crazy? I had so much fun, but they didn't show half of it. Here I come. And someone's like, no binders. And then she's like, oh, she's bringing the binders. Bring two binders. Here she comes.
She brought two binders, which is so funny. And she's like, well, don't worry. It's not a secret. I just brought it just in case. I love reading those bitches. So she comes out and he's like, hey, triangle. Ashley's like, is that an arrow pointing to the treasure chest? And she's like, well, it's an upside down pyramid because, guys, when I was in Egypt, that's when I found myself. So, yeah, doing the whole pyramid thing. Guys,
of course you do essential like oils.
I sell essential oils. Nothing says I sell essential oils by wearing upside down pyramid dresses to the reunion. Yeah.
Guys, she's sending a message. be careful.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hi, Andy. Great to see you, Monique. What a difference 5 years can make. Am I right? It's the difference between being 22 and 27, which is a big difference if you think about it, guys.
Yeah, you know, and it's 5 years and we're in the same studio. And he's like, oh, well, I don't care. Okay. So I really wanted to congratulate you on your journey of self-discovery and healing. So you made positive changes. We can all see it. We can all see it. It's so impressive. I'm wondering, if season 5 Monique was here, what advice would you give her? And she's like, well, you know, I would tell her to calm her ass down, Andy. I mean, it's just not that serious, right, guys? I mean, put the weapon down, am I right? I'm just fun, positive Monique.
Yeah, I've done a lot of healing. Some would say I've become a square. Or should I say a triangle? Ha! Okay, geometry. And he's like, okay, well.
Just wanted to come back with softer edges this time around, Andy. Literally cutting hallways. There's a scrape down the hallway. Your dress is terrifying.
Andy, I just want to do the right thing, the right angle thing, triangle humor. You just sort of have to wear one to understand it.
I just wanted something in case Candace came back. I could stab her in the eye if she started crying. Fun, Monique.
Scalene triangles. Am I right, guys? So, Monique.
And Giselle's like, well, that would have been nice if you were calmer during the earlier seasons. Oh, Giselle, don't pretend that you weren't sitting there agitating every second of everything with Monique at all times. So I love that I don't like that Monique has had to take this stance of like, okay, I'm just going to come back and completely eat shit. And I mean, it's worked. Right. But it's like, oh, Monique, you know, it went too far with the Candace stuff. Yes. But everybody else just gets off scot-free. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah. So Monique has said, you know, when she says like, oh, I put the weapon down. And it's like, the weapon being the binder? She's like, yes. And by the way, I brought it just in case. And so she holds up the binder and he's like, wow, I need that binder. Is this the binder? So he takes it, like, presumably to bring to the clubhouse. And then he's, like, looking through it and it's like, okay, there's a tab for Wendy and for Robin and the last lady. Oh, it's like, she's like, yeah, sorry, Giselle, you're the last lady.
The last lady.
And Andy's like, okay, I'm going to give it back because I don't know if I want something with Robin's name in the clubhouse. Okay, here you go. Here you go.
I saw Robin stab and I fell asleep. But yeah, take back the binder. What kind of, who are you? How's anybody getting a hold of that binder and not immediately paging through that whole thing or putting it under your chair and being like, I need something to read during lunch or something? The hell, keep it.
Yeah. As our friend Ira Madison would say, keep it. So Monique is like, well, we do need some new tabs, but you know, I've just been so busy in court and dealing with custody and all this other type of stuff. I honestly just had no time to even, you know, there was a cease and desist. And isn't that crazy? Last night, 9 p.m., I got a cease and desist. Okay. And me and Ashley, we went to dinner and then all of a sudden my ex sent me a cease and desist. So I just don't have time for binders. And Andy's like, wow. Jazzy's like, well, the reason why you guys are there is because of Stacy, right? Stacy, it's Stacy's fault. Stacy's fault. Stacy, I thought
Stacy's fault. You got a cease and desist. It's Stacy's fault. Karen is like, it's flight attendant's fault. Flight attendants did this. And Monique's like, well, some of it is Stacy's fault, actually. And Stacy goes, oh, what? Well, after a 5, I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen and that I don't have a binder. I just want to go home. I have a son. Okay. Well, after a 5-year hiatus, Monique, you return to this group, blah, blah, blah. Let's give you a clip package. Okay. So they show Monique's clip package. Okay. Well, Over the Shoulder from Boulder Holder says, you're much lighter this season, Monique. Can you explain more about how you've done that? She's like, well, first of all, thanks for noticing. First step in becoming lighter is losing 350 pounds. Am I right?
Jazzy's like, I don't get it. So then she's like, the second step, honestly, it's just, you know, self-reflection. I just had to look at myself. And I looked at myself and I was like, wow, you're wearing a triangle on your back.
And it was funny because I was looking at myself while I was wearing the shiny triangle, and I could see my reflection through the shiny triangle and the mirror, and it was just like a million Moniques. I saw myself a million, hallway of Moniques.
Yeah, I just looked at myself and I said, wow, you look like one of the buttons for an elevator. And that was cool. So Andy's like... But I don't always go down, which is funny. So Andy is like, well, how good did it feel to have that lunch, the two of you guys, right? And Giselle's like, well, I loved it. I loved it because I felt like me and Monique could have just been cool back then if we just had talked, you know, and we're not gonna, like, I don't know if we're ever gonna be besties, you know, besties. But, like, I love the fact that we're moving in a positive direction and she's much better than Jazzy. So feels good to know that we have a good friend of for next season ready to go.
Yeah, she's like, I'll take care of her next year, Andy. I love apology, Monique. I love lunch, smiley Monique, pretending that I've never done anything mean to her in my life.
Okay, well, something that people may not know is that I tried to get you on season 2 of Ultimate Girls Trip, and you said no.
And she's like, yeah, it was the season with Dorinda.
Yeah, and you were a hard pass. I mean, you really said emotionally you were not ready to come back to this platform.
She's like, yes, well, they were not manufacturing triangle dresses at that point, so just wasn't. When I say I was not in shape for it, I literally meant I just didn't have the shape. But now I do, she's so, like, I'm good to go.
Yeah, she's like, well, I was still extremely rich and had other TV show offers on the table. So if, as my dress is saying, you can see the direction of where that went.
All right, well, why weren't you ready then? She's like, well, I just am, like, you know, I was figuring out my marriage and all that stuff, and, you know, you know, I wasn't healed, blah blah blah. And it's like, okay, so.
And she said she was mad. She said she was mad at production and the cast and the network, which I thought was. And she's like, fuck all of you guys, you know, because she was. I remember her saying stuff back then. She's like, fuck all those people, and they were like, will you ever go back to Bravo? And she was like, hell no, I will never ever. So yeah, a lot's changed since then. So she's like, you know, but then I realized, you know, I'm bored and staying at home by yourself in solitude is not actually peace because I have children. So,
yeah, just you and
get me the fuck out of here.
You and animals, you know, oh man, children and my animals. And Andy is like, so what did your divorce teach you about yourself? And Monique is like, well, it taught me that I didn't love myself. They say typically whoever you're in a relationship with will tell you a lot of what you feel about yourself. And I was in a relationship where I was allowed to be depleted. And I don't know, what is the emotional term for I would wake up feeling like an actual pancake after sex? What's that?
I felt like I was a leaf that had fallen between two pieces of wax paper and then ironed in a kindergarten class. Do you know that feeling, Andy? That's how I felt when I woke up under Chris.
So Andy's like, well, Monique, you mentioned that you see a lot of similarities between Angel's marriage and now your dissolved marriage. Do you stand by that statement? She's like, well, look, I wasn't coming after her marriage or coming after your husband, Angel. Don't you worry. I'm just not interested enough in you in that way. And Angel's like, well, and I want everyone to know that, like, things don't bother Bobby. And I think that he's like, he thought that you guys had a good rapport. So that really bothered him because he didn't think that of you. Like, you just said that things don't bother
Bobby. Are you listening to your own sentence, Angel?
You just said bothered. Okay.
Things don't bother Bobby, but that bothered him.
Yep. Monique's basically like, you know, it seemed like, oh yeah, it seemed like Bobby has an issue with me because he wouldn't talk to me. But essentially... like, and Angel's like, well, no, he keeps it real. You know, he keeps it real. It's not out of rudeness. She's like, no, it was rude. It was rude because he could have just said that in that moment. He could have said hi or whatever. And he's like, yeah, he's odd at me too. He's odd at me when I texted him. I said, hey, Jackson, you up? And he's like, this is Bobby, not Jackson. I said, my bad.
Do you have his number? Okay.
And Angel's like, oh, he's not mad at you. He just saw you 2 days ago. He goes, I know. And I thought he was a little mad at me. So she's like, oh, no, come on, Andy. And Kieran is like, Bobby, don't mess around, honey. Bobby, do not mess around. So Monique is saying, look, I was saying that because these NFL guys, you know, these are the kind of guys we come in contact with. And that's what I was trying to tell you. And when we first met... And I started talking about the NFL and you were nodding your head like you're doing right now. And then once the cameras went down, you were like, well, I really want to talk to you and get some advice because we have things in common. And so we're on a trip and you're hosting and I'm watching you do it all. So when I saw that, I was like, well, I'll give some advice. So it looked like you needed help. And, you know, I just wanted you to not work yourself to the point where now you're being aggressive with the group and being upset all the time.
Yeah.
And Andy's which like, I'll say that, you know, doing too much doesn't make her aggressive with the group. I think that's unfair. I mean, the group was kind of coming for her constantly.
Yeah. The group was coming for her. But like, this was a very interesting way of Monique saying, no, I wasn't saying that your relationship is like mine and that there's any issues. It's just that I saw your relationship and it looked just like mine. And it looks like you have some issues. But I'm not saying that it looked like mine and you have issues. I'm just saying that's just what I've noticed.
Your relationship looks just like mine, which I have detailed in my book, is abusive and toxic and horrible. And that's all I was trying to say. I was just trying to hug you. Consider it a hug.
Do you have any letters from your former self? Love letters.
Yes. I think she did this. She handled this in a very classy way. I think it was classy. Very kind of her to deal with Angel like this instead of saying, Angel, I know that that probably hurt your feelings and I shouldn't have been saying that stuff behind your back. I see how it was taken, but to me, it looks like your husband is controlling and an asshole and you're afraid of him or whatever she really felt because she could have said that, but she didn't. I thought that was nice.
Yeah. I mean, I think that basically she's saying, I just saw some, you know, some things that reminded me of my situation where the husband's taking all the energy and you're doing everything for him and it's totally out of balance. And so I just wanted to check in because I saw what happened in my life and I want to make sure everything's good in her life.
Angel's like, well, I look at this and I think that that's projection. I saw a lot of projection this season because you don't know me and you don't know that my marriage is wonderful, but it is. And Bobby is wonderfully supportive.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Bobby did everything when we were at your house. Remember when I stayed at your house and everyone else didn't? Oh, it was just a pure luxury. Husband luxury. He was basically the nanny. Don't take it personally, Bobby. It's my love language.
He did everything. For instance, when it was time to do the dishes, he scowled at me. And when it was time to clean up the table some more, he scowled at me. And when it was time to go to bed, he scowled at me. He just did everything. He was just so kind, that Bobby. So
Kierna goes, and I'll say his host, he was actually the host for us more than Angel. He really made breakfast. Kierna, geez.
That's funny. That's actually cute. I actually do believe that Bobby did do that stuff. But I think that, like, you know, I don't know. I think that I can't tell really what Bobby's role in this is. Is Bobby, I sort of, sometimes I get the idea of like Bobby's just doing Bobby and Angel is like insecure about it and like trying to. I think she's like afraid that she's going to get like kicked to the side or something like that.
I don't think Bobby's done anything wrong. I think all this started when Giselle and them started making a big deal when he was rude, quote unquote,
which was not that bad,
at that thing that they went to that was all the way far away from they live, far away from where they live. They had to get all these kids there. It's this family day thing. The ladies are calling them, giving all the shit after coming for his wife all week or all month or whatever. And they're like, where are you? And he said, we'll get there when we get there. And they're like, man, speaking to a woman like that. I mean, I think they've been really overplaying this Bobby thing. I think at the final vacation thing, he came off like a real dick because he just sat there. Yeah. With his friends. I think he came off like a real asshole at that one.
I hope Andy asks about that because in the previews for next week, we see that they're going to talk about Wendy's situation and Karen. But I'm like, I would love that trip to be addressed. It has to be addressed because that moment with Bobby and his friends was really obnoxious. Like that's like one of the searing moments of the season for me, of these guys just staring at the women and being so incredibly rude across the board.
Yeah, because my opinion the whole season had been like, oh my God, they're just coming for Bobby. Bobby's not doing anything wrong. And then that happened. And I was like, come on, Bobby. I've been sticking up for you the whole season, man.
Yeah, I do think that, like, in this situation, though, like, by and large, like, for the whole season, it seems like Bobby has been, like, fine, and it's just Angel has, like, a strange energy about it all. Like, she's, like, nervous about it, or she's, like, I don't know, there's something, like, something that's off that that she's like overcompensating for, you know, like she, I don't know. It seems like she's just like not really settled. I get the sense that she's like a little bit like, she's like afraid that she's going to do something wrong. And like, like I kind of get the sense that it's like, and maybe it's in, maybe it's a situation that she's whipped up in her head. Like she's going to like, I don't know, like she's afraid that like, like she's going to upset Bobby or let Bobby down or whatever. I can't tell, but like, you know, I feel like her energy is a little extra when it comes to Bobby. But I don't know. I don't know what, I don't know what the source that is.
Well, I would say time will tell, but I don't think Angel has more time on this show. So it probably won't.
I kind of want her to come back.
Probably won't tell as much.
I kind of wanted her to come back at this point. It's so weird. Yeah. I would actually be interested to see more of their relationship in a weird way, to see like, is this all Angel's energy? What does Bobby contribute to it? If anything, I don't know.
I mean, I took it honestly as Angel kind of using Bobby as an excuse when she didn't want to be around the girls. Or, I mean, it seems like she's got such a close relationship with Bobby because of how she talks about him and, you know, like we're a team and, you know, this and that. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, the only shitty energy I got from Bobby was at that finale party. Same. But even then when he was like, well, you know, she said, well, the ladies, they want me to go. What was it? Like they want me to go party with them and stay at this thing tonight. And he was like, okay, well, do you want to go? And she's like, no, I don't want to go. And he's like, then don't fucking go. And then so it makes it like he's telling her not to go, but he wasn't really telling her not to go. Like, he's saying, do you want to go? So I don't know if the energy is just her being like, well, Bobby doesn't want me to do things, is because she doesn't really want to do them and she's using that as an out. But I don't know.
Can't tell. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I can't either.
Like, you can't tell if like, does he really not want to take care of the kids for a few more hours, or does he? Or is she using it as an excuse, or is she sort of like nervous to leave him behind?
And
like,
honestly, the track record of people that we've seen on Bravo, it's like, well, I certainly don't want to sit here and say, no, Bobby could never, this would never happen. Because I mean, look at just the crappy nominations this year alone of the shitty men and what they do. So yeah. I certainly don't want to discount that theory if that could be true, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think back in the day, I really liked Chris as well. And I don't think I detected any of this from Chris. Oh, there was a, no, wait, no, there was like a, there was a turn, a slight turn where he was just like, I want more sex. And she was like, but I don't remember. It's like, it was past like 9 months ago. So I have, it's all just vague memories at this point.
Yeah. Well, you've got a longer memory than my 5 minutes. I'm like a mosquito. Jesus. So anyway, Angel's like, well, now, you know, you said all this stuff about my husband. And so now people are running with this narrative and it looks like I'm facing trouble in my marriage. And that's not true. And Wendy's like, what people? And Giselle's like, yeah, who said that? Da. And she's like, you know, the people, the public. And so she means the viewers. And I love that Giselle's like, who said that? The people that you're trying to make think that all season, Giselle.
Jeez. The United Nations. They had an emergency meeting and they said something's going on with Angel and Bobby.
The three amigos.
All three of them.
Martin Short, very, very, very upset for me. So yes. Andy's like, okay, let's move on. Stacy, you're back with Timo this season and he makes misshapen pizzas. So let's talk about that. Did you date Chris Samuels or not? Okay, because we have photos with you on a date with him, and then you admitted to Ashley, you admitted it to Ashley on producer cam.
We have photos of you on a date with him.
Really?
Because it's that picture. There's a picture of her at a table with Chris.
Which
to me is just, you know, whatever. They're eating together. So Stacey says there was actually a table of 25 people. She was never on a date just with him. And Andy's like, but it seems like on that producer cam, you kind of cop to it. And she goes, well, I admitted that I saw him out. And I've always admitted that I didn't go on a one-on-one date with Chris. And now she's like, yeah, but you said it in the context of you and Timo. And Kieran's like, yeah, you were seeing other people.
Yeah, I know. Come on now, Stacey. You said on that, they show us the video again. And Stacey's like, listen, when Timo and I separated, we both saw other people, and Chris Samuels was one of those people. So how she's going to try and wiggle out of this now? And so Kieran is like, but you were seeing other people. And Ashley says, well, Timo saw other people and that Chris was one of your people. You said that. She goes, no, I didn't see him. That's just not true. And that wasn't the context. So
then Monique is
like, it was AI. It was AI. You could see it. Because there was a plane behind me and then it was a bus.
Monique says, well, she was in communication with him, but honestly, whether they dated or not has never been my issue because, you know, Stacey's a beautiful girl and I enjoyed watching you in this season. You're hilarious as hell. But it was just the boundary that was possibly crossed when it came to me sharing because I've not been in a space to be around people and let them into this magnitude of it for in so long. And I just felt like if something needed to come back to me, it would, and it did. And I want to show you this, and I know you all won't be able to air it, but at least I can just let you watch here. And so she holds up her phone, and they're like, oh. So next week we'll find out.
Okay, so are we going to find out that Stacey was the one that went and told Chris? Because that's what it sounds like, right? That Monique was talking about him at that lunch? Because she says, it's not about whether they dated. It's the boundary that was possibly crossed when it came to me sharing. So that means that she's talking about that dinner where she was sharing, and then someone went and told Chris, I think.
I feel like it's going to be a bit of a letdown, whatever it is. I don't feel like it's going to be a really strong and effective reveal.
Well, I will say this. Stacey looked worried.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. We'll find out next week. Thank you, everyone, for being here. What a fun time on the show. Get your virtual streaming tickets for the Crappies. Be sure to vote and do all the fun things. The newsletter, all the whole shebang. Get into it. And we will catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.